Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, April the 17th, 2023. And we appreciate you listening to AFR. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
Chris Woodward. Now, Fred's out for a few days, right?
Yes. He's on holiday.
That's what Europeans call vacation, right?
Right.
Or we call vacation.
And Canadians.
Canadians use that term, too?
Canadians are just like Europeans, only a little nicer.
I think holiday in America, you say that, you're talking about a holiday.
Mm. Right. Chris, like Thanksgiving.
Easter, Labor Day.
We say vacation, but that's the expression they use. I've noticed that holiday. In Europe, that's what they say for what we say vacation. Well, we hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. Listen, our Share-a-thon took place last week, and Ed, we're just so excited about what God did through our listeners.
Right? Yeah, very blessed. We our supporters are the best. We were shooting for.
We don't need a poll for that.
No. That's right. We don't. We know they're the best,
right?
Because they come through. For a lot of people, these are difficult economic times. We were shooting to at least equal the fall Share-a-thon totals. I think we barely surpass what we did in the fall, which is unusual because towards the end of the year,
right,
fall Share-a-thon usually does better. But our Share-a-thon total was $4.27 million, almost $4.3 million, and a record, as far as I can remember, 19,815 pledges, which means individuals, or as you like to say, probably in most cases, families who donated to the work of American Family Radio, and we are so grateful to God, grateful to our listeners and supporters who believe in the ministry of American Family Radio.
Amen. I mean, we're listener-supported Christian radio. That's
right.
It. You know, we don't get, we're not like national public radio where you get government money.
Right.
We don't have big corporations making donations to us. It's our listeners out there.
Yes.
Who support what we do.
So thank you to all of you who are able to give the Share-a-thon. We know a lot of you were not able to, but thank you for those who were, and please, the rest of you, continue to pray. Well, all of you, continue to pray for American Family Association, American Family Radio, because the times in which we are living are chaotic, a lot of darkness everywhere, but where sin abounds, there does grace much more abound. And as Jesus says, as the scriptures say, we want to, and Christians need to, shine in the midst of this darkness to point people to the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus.
You know, I want to talk about this more, this topic I'm about to introduce, when we have more knowledgeable guests on. Not that we three can't give a brief overview, but
right.
We were having a team meeting this morning here at AFA, as we do every Monday morning, just sort of looking at what's going on in the culture, the lay of the land, what's happening for that week, do we need to take action on anything in particular. And we were talking about this move to promote socialism and progressivism and secularism that is putting great pressure on corporations and banks. This scoring that the left wants to do now.
ESG.
ESG.
Environmental, social, and governance.
People really need to pay attention to this issue because it's here, and it's conservatives and Christians are trying to confront it and combat it in politics and government and other ways. But it's the left wants to force their ideology on Americans through financial pressure.
Yes, and corporations, which are oftentimes multinational in origin, and thus have no particular loyalty to any one nation. They become big players in this. And the way this works, this ESG, again, it is a way of scoring individuals, companies, what have you.
Like a credit rating?
Like a credit rating. So are you environmentally sound? And what that means is, are you in league with or supportive of the climate change agenda? Okay, so you would get a score as a business. And if you want to go to a bank, for example, to get a loan or work with a company, a larger corporation on something, they would look at your environmental score and your environmental compliance. Social would be the kind of the woke agenda, governance.
The LGBT.
All of these kinds of things would be thrown into the pot, and out comes a score by which you'd be judged. And that would determine whether you're able to
buy, sell, or trade.
And you don't get to keep your store forever. So what was a 100 a few years ago on some sort of index might only be a 95 now, which is why you continue to see more corporations get behind, like the dude dressed as a woman to sell beer and Nike and Olay ads and stuff like that, because companies are having to do increasingly more and more stuff to get that better ESG rating.
But we need to resist this with everything we've got.
Right. This is leading to totalitarianism.
Freedom loving Americans of whatever stripe, creed, color, we need to fight this. And we're going to be doing more informational programming on this. And we will alert you should this come up in a state legislature, or certainly on a national, in a national legislature. The left in this country, they're for this. Why? Because they get to decide. They get to decide how to score.
Right.
You know, what to score on. This is you wonder how the you see so much promotion of things like the LGBT agenda, LGBTQ agenda, is because they have the Human Rights Campaign, which is the leading organization promoting LGBTQ in America. They are in direct contact with big corporations,
right,
and then they put pressure on these big corporations to promote the LGBTQ community and their agenda, or they are under threat to be scored poorly.
Yeah, they've been doing this since I think the late 90s. They have what's called the Corporate Equality Index, the Human Rights Campaign. So all these major corporations have a score. And 100% means you are fully on board with, in terms of your policies and practices, fully on board with the LGBTQ agenda.
And they're friendly anyway, okay? A lot of these secular-minded people are friendly. They're of the same mindset anyway, so it doesn't take a lot of persuading.
Right.
Right? I'm talking about the Madison Avenue, the corporate world, and the LGBT promotion community, their agenda, and with Hollywood, it's all meshed together. So they're all promoting the same liberal social agenda. So we'll keep you posted on that, but it's something to definitely keep an eye on. If they switch over to scoring banks and companies and individuals, and we got problems.
Yeah, right. Well, you already had the Biden effort, which is in court over whether he basically wants your financial advisors to decide where to put your money.
Yeah,
and you know, you've got too much money in fossil fuels over here. We got to put it towards solar powers and windmills in the name of ESG.
Yeah, and the problem with that for a lot of especially conservatives, libertarians, is that the people who are managing your money in terms of the stock market, they are supposed to be looking at the stocks that will give you the best return on your investment. And what the Biden administration wants to do is, contrary to the way the law works now, no, they can not only consider what would be the best return on your investment, but they can also look at the ESG score of these companies and invest your money based on that rather than what would be the best return on your investment,
yeah.
which is currently illegal.
Right. So, you know, in my case, if I retire 30, if the Lord tarries and I retire 30 years from now and I don't have as much money as I thought I would, it's because my people put my money in unicorn juice or whatever it is right. that Biden seems to think is going to be this, you know.
Unicorn juice. That's
hey, don't knock it. If you've ever tried it. You know, that has plenty of antioxidants.
You know, spam says don't knock it till you've fried it.
Hey, that's what Pam says?
Spam.
Spam. Oh.
They say don't knock it till you've fried it.
That's some good eating.
I like it.
That's some good eating.
You know, this is what happened with Bud Light, the beer company,
mm-hmm. right.
Budweiser. Bud Light, you know, hired this.
Dylan Mulvaney.
Transgender influencer is what they call him. It's a guy who says he's a woman.
Right.
And Bud Light decided it'd be a great idea to hire this person and put them on their beer cans for a special promotion. And there was an enormous backlash to this promotion of transgenderism through Bud Light, the beer company. And they lost, I think, $4 to $5 billion. And I think it's stock value.
It is.
Okay. So it's not yet whether the sales being down can be sustained or not.
Right.
Remains to be seen. But at least initially, they took a hit for this.
Their stock dropped, I think it was 1.6%, which is where people get the $4 or $5 billion worth of value. But the woman who was in charge of this move on
right.
the part of Bud Light said this was all factored in. We knew we would get hit initially. We will weather it. They are a huge company.
Well, their CEO didn't act like he was prepared for this. For this backlash I'm talking about.
They're trying to do a little bit of
damage control.
But don't forget this. We talked about this morning. Anheuser-Busch is owned by a German company. You get these big conglomerates. That's why I say these are multinational corporations, which obviously means by definition, they don't have a sense of loyalty to any particular company. You used to be, this is an American-based company. We're looking out for America. Well, right. what happens if you're owned by a German company who has no loyalty to the United States or to the American consumer.
Yeah. You had some country music stars and others, you know, initiate a boycott of Bud Light. And so that did gain some traction, some mm-hmm. momentum.
Right.
I noticed over the weekend, Donald Trump Jr. said that conservatives should not boycott Bud Light because they give money to Republican candidates sometimes.
Right. I just shared a link for that.
I don't know why he decided to weigh in on that in that fashion, but anyway.
Well, you know how oftentimes when like a big company does something crazy, generally there's a buy local effort or somebody makes a push to buy local, buy from your neighborhood,
right.
You know, your neighbor that runs the small business because that money stays local and all that. There is a growing number of locally owned like beer makers in various parts of the country. I can't believe it's a Baptist on American Family Radio I'm talking about this. But there is a buy local effort there that could continue to cause financial problems for these big beer companies because you can buy it from Dave down the street.
I think, too, perhaps, who knows, this remains to be seen, perhaps the enormous backlash that was received by Bud Light over this promotion of the transgendered person and transgendered ideology will cause a lot of corporations some pause on exactly how far they want to go with this kind of stuff mm-hmm. because of the potential backlash as they see happening with Bud Light. They don't want to be in that. No company wants to be in that position.
Right.
Okay. Now, Nike hired this same guy who says he's a girl to do a bra commercial, mm-hmm. sports bra commercial. So, but Nike's been all in
yes.
with the with the lefty with yeah. left agenda.
Their basic their usual typical customer isn't you or I, Tim.
Right.
It's all young people.
They had Colin Kaepernick first.
Right.
They weathered that storm, so they hired the guy to prance around in ladies' athletic wear.
Well, Nike's a behemoth. I mean, internationally, they're hard to put. I'm not going to buy their product.
Right.
For multiple reasons, but
let me just comment though. So Anheuser-Busch and these other big beer conglomerates give money, as Donald Trump Jr. tweeted out, give money to candidates.
Yeah.
Okay, and candidates get elected to Congress, and then what the federal government says is, okay, all you local beer manufacturers, it's dangerous.
You're right.
This beer could be contaminated.
Right.
So we're shutting you down. You got to have a license. That's the way these things are, for example. That's how this stuff.
Well, you know, these big corporations, though, they give money to both sides.
They do, because it's a tax write-off. You get it back.
They give money to Donald Trump when he was a businessman in New York. He gave money to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Right.
For example. And he gave money to some Republicans.
Ivanka gave money to Democrats.
So I'm just saying that's an example right there. You give these big corporations, these wealthy billionaires oftentimes give money to both sides.
Right. But
Is that called hedging your bet?
This is how these local, smaller kind of outlets get shut down.
Yeah.
The Congress says, oh, you know, agriculture Department of Agriculture says, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You could have. Well, they will eventually shut down those local beer manufacturers because they are just looking out for you and looking out for your health. And what they're actually doing is doing the bidding of the people who give money to the candidates who then pass the regulations.
If the government says, I'm here to help you, have them name you three times they looked out for you and you came out better.
Right.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Chris had some tragic news out of the state of Alabama over the weekend, right?
Yes, and we definitely need to pray for the people there in Dadeville, Alabama, which I looked it up is about an hour northeast of Montgomery, a little bit to the northwest of Auburn, if you're familiar with the geography there in the great state of Alabama. Over the weekend, there was a shooting at a birthday party that killed at least 4 people and wounded at least 28 people. Investigators are still looking into the cause of this, who was behind it, how many people may have been involved in the shooting. And I've got some audio here from Alabama Law Enforcement Agency Sergeant Jeremy Burkett urging prayer for those injured. Clip 1.
Some of those injuries are critical. They are in critical condition, and that's why it's so important. We absolutely need everyone to continue to pray for those individuals to allow them to recover from what they're enduring.
Terrible situation.
So this is a birthday party.
Mm-hmm. Sweet 16.
Teenagers are there in the small town in Alabama. I mean, this is a rural place. And so, do we know, so you're saying we don't know yet, the authorities haven't released the facts of the matter?
Well, I'm looking at our story on AFN.net, which is Associated Press material, and it quotes that same individual that we just heard, Jeremy Burkett, saying they did not say if a suspect was in custody or if investigators knew about any motivation. Mr. Burkett did not provide the names of the killed. And then we go on to quote a lot of pastors that are talking about various outreach efforts there to help people whose children or brothers, neighbors, what have you, were shot at this birthday party.
Yeah, last story I read, which was earlier this morning, they had not caught the person or persons involved in this, and so have no motive. Terrible.
That seems unusual to me after, 48 hours now, 36 hours, that you would not have more information released by the police with respect to who did the shooting, what their motives were. You would think that you would hear that. You would have heard that by now.
Well, was it a drive-by, or did someone walk? I've not heard any of those.
I'm still not sure on the exact details. Dadeville is not far from the Georgia state line, so it is possible that whoever was behind this or the people that were responsible for the shooting might have fled the state. They could have even gone south. Dadeville to the Florida line is not that far either. So it's possible they may not even be in the state of Alabama if they did leave the state after this shooting.
Yeah.
All right.
It's tragic.
And then you had in Chicago, Illinois,
yes.
You have the downtown area mm-hmm. with I guess, hundreds?
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of teenagers just going.
Running amok. Just,
right. Running yeah. everywhere. Aerial footage. This is one of those stories where, like, television kind of trumps radio only because of the dramatic footage that television can show. We have to describe the situation. So if you're not familiar with the story.
You're too dead from that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just reading some of the stories here. Two teenage males, ages 16 and 17, were shot while standing in a crowd during the mayhem on Saturday night as hundreds of young people smashed cars, blocked traffic, and fought in the street. Both victims were transported to a nearby hospital and listed in fair condition, according to Fox 32 Chicago. I do have some audio here. The new mayor-elect, Brandon Johnson, he condemned or said he didn't condone the teen takeover chaos, as it's been referred to. But he did go on to say things like, it's not constructive to demonize youth. So let's be cautious not to say bad stuff about kids in general, that kind of stuff. It's not the first time Mr. Johnson has made comments like this. I do not know when these comments were made, but they were while he was campaigning for mayor. You're going to hear now Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson at some point in the last however long blaming corporations for Chicago's problems. Clip 3.
Wonder why?
Yes, sir.
Our communities look like they look. Well,
speak
that
the
we
truth.
Have violence every single day.
Speak the truth.
Yes, Lord.
It is just not on us.
Yeah.
It is on the corporate citizens that come into our community yeah. and ravage our community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Walmart, you should be absolutely ashamed of yourselves. You are the reason that our communities lack the investment
yeah.
that they have. We should not have to go out of our communities to find jobs. We should not have to go out of our communities to get medicine.
That's
the new mayor of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? The new boss is the same as the old boss,
mm-hmm.
Chicago voters. All right. That's lunacy for the mayor-elect to blame Walmart. Let's just lay it out. These four Walmarts, like CVS stores, like Walgreens and major cities, are fleeing these big cities because they can't get people to work because they're terrified of being mugged or otherwise hurt. Their stores are being looted and stolen from on a regular basis, hundreds of millions of dollars. They can't stay in business. And for the mayor-elect to blame that teenage riot in downtown Chicago on Walmart because they're not, quote-unquote, investing.
Now, I'm not sure was the quote we just heard in direct response to what happened over the weekend.
No, sir. It was just more of him riding the fence or blaming it on something else.
But it's still applicable, I think. To I don't know if he was responding necessarily to what happened over the weekend and blaming Walmart. But he was blaming Walmart for crime in Chicago.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm sorry. I thought that was in response
to teenagers.
But why would he say anything different? He's blaming the crime in Chicago.
Listen.
On no investment on the part of these major corporations. When I don't think that's what's happening here.
Listen, Chicago proper is going down the tubes.
Yeah, which is bad for Illinois and really the area, Indiana, Wisconsin.
But they vote for it.
Right.
That's true.
So they're good with it. The crime, the crime, which is out of control. And that's why these corporations are leaving?
Yeah. Well, Chicago police said 9 adults, 6 juveniles were arrested over the weekend. They're charged with reckless conduct. So what do you think is going to happen when you've got district attorneys in these big cities that are letting everyone go, oftentimes without any bail? You think anything's going to happen to these people? And do you think there's going to be any deterrence from the next weekend that they decide to go on a rampage?
Yeah. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes.
A VA medical clinic in Austin, Texas, removed a cross from its lobby, the latest in a series of crackdowns on Christianity in the military by the Biden administration. In recent days, the administration sent FBI agents to bully pro-lifers. Catholic priests were booted from Walter Reed Medical Center. They infiltrated Catholic churches in Virginia, and they even ordered a painting of Jesus Christ to be covered at the Merchant Marine Academy. As for the incident in Texas, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation alleges 19 veterans complained about the presence of the cross inside the clinic. They called the cross outrageous and hostile, and some 90 minutes after complaining, the cross was removed. Now, the MRFF is an organization that routinely gets triggered by Jesus. They rarely target Muslims, but they love going after the Christians. And I've exposed their radical agenda in my book, Culture Jihad, available at toddstarnes.com.
This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Psalm 27, verse 4.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. If you want to watch this here show on the internet, go to Facebook Live and just type in Today's Issues, and we post the stories there that we discuss as well. Facebook Live, type in Today's Issues, or they can go to our folks can go to our own streaming service that we own and operate, right, Ed?
Absolutely. What's streaming.afa.net.
What's there?
streaming.afa.net. Well, glad you asked. Not only can you watch live video streams of many of our talk radio programs, there is also a wide variety of edifying, informative video content. Oh,
edifying.
Yeah, they're edifying.
Yeah.
We don't post anything on there that's
not edifying.
Mm-hmm. So folks, you can go there, and to access either the live video streams or the video content, it's very easy to set up an account. I mean, your name, email, address, and that's it. And then if you are a great commission partner, you have access to all the video content on our streaming platform. The free account allows you access to a lot of it. You can watch a lot of it free. But if you want access to all of it, become a great commission partner and donate monthly to American Family.
Next topic, Chris.
Well, Florida is looking to join the list of states with really more restrictions on abortion. And I say it that way because Florida already wants to ban or already bans most abortions after 15 weeks. But in recent days, Governor Ron DeSantis there signed a bill that would ban most abortions at the point of 6 weeks and beyond. Where it gets really interesting here, and I'll share links to show this to our listeners not aware of this, the six-week ban is only going to take effect if and when the Florida Supreme Court rules in favor of the 15-week ban. That issue is in court at the moment. Florida Supreme Court does have what news outlets consider a conservative majority. So at some point this year, perhaps even in the near future, the state of Florida might join a few other states in really restricting abortion at the six-week point. Well, I'm sure people are going to make a big deal out of this if and when Governor DeSantis does run for president.
What states do we know, we should know this, have a six-week or what's called a heartbeat bill, heartbeat law?
Yes. I will look it up right now.
I know Georgia does.
Georgia does. Texas, Oklahoma.
But the heartbeat bill is not usually, the heartbeat's not usually detectable at 6 weeks, is it?
It can be.
It can be. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but this is what we wanted. We wanted these kinds of decisions to be made on the state level. And that's what the Dobbs decision allowed states to do. So, battle this out state by state, and that's the way the Constitution allows this to be done. And so this is where it belongs.
I can answer your question. I'm looking at...
About the meaning of life?
Well, I'll get to that
question.
I'll get to that in just a minute. I'm looking at a Politico article. I'll share this link as well here in a sec. Florida now joins at least 12 other states, including Georgia, Iowa, Kentucky, and Louisiana, that have approved bans on abortions after 6 weeks, a point at which many people don't yet know they're pregnant. That's according to Politico.
So how many are at 6 weeks?
At least 12.
Really? That's getting down low.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the bills. In
well, Governor DeSantis of Florida signed it into law. There's some people who speculate that might hurt him in a it wouldn't hurt him in a Republican primary, but it might hurt him should he win the Republican primary and face off against Biden. Mm-hmm. That remains, you know, we're a long way away from that. And what issues will be on the top of people's minds when they go to the polls, you know, in the primaries and in the general election next year, 2024. When is the first Republican debate? Is that in August?
I believe so.
I think that's right.
In Iowa?
Usually the debates start in the August through, I mean, they don't usually have debates in December, but August through fall.
I got it.
Yes.
Republicans are going to hold their first presidential primary debate in Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land. And that city, also Milwaukee, is where they're going to have the national nominating convention.
When is the first debate?
Do they have a date on that?
In August of...
This year?
Yeah, it's...
Well, it would have to be this year because the primaries start after
in
the
January.
New year.
Yeah, you're right.
So, by the way, Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced he was not going to run.
Yeah, you mentioned that before we came on the show, just before. There was speculation that he was.
Yes. Officially now on the Republican side, you have former President Trump. You have former Governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, who also served in the Trump administration. You have Senator Tim Scott.
He's got an exploratory committee.
He's out there exploring.
Yep, exploring.
He's exploring, so he hasn't officially entered the race. Did Mitt Romney say he's running?
Vivek Ramaswamy is the other official declared candidate.
Yes, yes, yes. Look up Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney. I want to say he said he's running, but maybe I misunderstood. They're looking at. Maybe he's exploring.
I'm looking at a Salt Lake Tribune article from 5 days ago, and it said he's taking his first step toward a 2024 Senate reelection.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. A Senate reelection,
that does not prevent him from running.
No,
for president,
it doesn't.
Though.
Now, in Florida, either the legislature will have to change the law to allow a sitting governor to run for president, should Governor DeSantis announce.
Okay.
Or he'll have to resign. It'll be one or the other.
Oh, you can't run as governor?
No, you can't. Now, unless they change the law, which they have before, as my understanding, it's kind of a formality.
Okay. So they do it for this particular case?
Yeah.
Kind of give an exemption?
Yeah. They've done it. The Florida State Legislature has done this in their history to allow a sitting governor to run for.
Okay.
They do have a lieutenant governor there by the name of Jeanette Nunez, who is Republican in Florida. Presumably, we get to some sort of situation where DeSantis has to leave office, and I guess she ends up becoming governor. We shall see.
Yeah.
Every state's different. It's hard to make it all make sense sometimes because they all govern things differently.
But now,
it
would be nice. Governor DeSantis, he said, or his spokespersons have said he will be making a formal announcement after the legislative session ends in Tallahassee, which will be in May sometime.
That's when John Stemberger kind of sort of predicted he would run. Stemberger was of the opinion when he was here sitting right over there a couple months ago that DeSantis will officially announce. He said it was going to be after the session, and I think he said around May.
Yeah. So that's a few weeks away yet. Let me ask you this, Ed and Chris. I'm going to do a poll. I'm a polling service.
Polling two individuals.
Yeah, I'm gonna poll y'all two and release it to the public as a scientific.
Yeah, that's a scientific.
With a plus or minus of 3%. either way, do you think Joe Biden will be the Democrat nominee for president in 2024? Feel free to use a paragraph.
Well, I think he will want to run. I don't think he will get the nomination. Only because I think at some point he's going to have to back out. I don't know whether it be by his choice. I don't think he is capable of running again. How that plays out, I don't know. That's just my sense of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm
asking.
I think
he wants to run. I think he will either announce in advance, I want to run. I think my administration's done great things, but for health reasons, I'm not going to run. Or he's going to have to run against others, and at some point he's going to realize he cannot be on the campaign trail.
You know, Robert F. Kennedy announced.
Yeah.
Well, is it Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
Well, Marianne Williamson, is she running as a Democrat?
Yeah.
But
now, Kennedy, that's a big name.
Oh, yeah.
In the in Democrat politics. Right. But is it Robert F. Kennedy
Jr.?
Yeah. Of course, he, Jr., he's the son of
Robert Kennedy.
Who was slain, assassinated. By Sirhan Sirhan, right?
Right.
In 68, true? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
that's true.
That was his daddy. Now, he's best known, really not for politics, but for his anti-vax.
Yes.
Also an environmentalist. But a lot more people, I think, nowadays know him based on his position on vaccines in general, not just the COVID shot.
Right.
He's completely anti-shot.
Right.
But neither of those two individuals, Marianne Williamson or RFK Jr., I don't think they have a chance. If Biden decides to run, I think the establishment would have to get behind Biden. But I just don't see how Joe Biden is going to be able to run in primaries against opponents and then run in a general election campaign. I just don't see how he can pull that off.
So you think somebody else will emerge?
I think Gavin Newsom would be the
governor of California.
Yeah, if he would be the immediate front runner, I think.
You mean if Biden pulled out?
Yeah, if Biden says I'd love to, but my health, you know, X, Y, or Z, I'm not going to be able to run for re-election.
I think he wants to run. I think Joe Biden wants to continue being first lady. I don't think he will be the nominee in 2024 because they will come up with some reason for
Chris?
The Democratic Party. They will come up with some reason for him not to seek re-election because they don't want to be the ones that got rid of their guy. So
he would have to. He would have to say
if that
I can't.
If my prediction, and I'm not saying I'm some sort of Nostradamus by any stretch, but if it's not Joe and Kamala, it'll be Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer.
running or the ticket?
Because she just survived a really big re-election effort to try to get rid of her based on her things like the COVID policies. She survived that, and Democrats were championing
her. I can't believe the way you guys are just brushing off Kamala Harris like she's a nothing. I haven't even heard you mention her name. She's the vice president of the United Salad
Word Salad
America.
She is the Dan Quayle of this ticket. This part,
Dan Quayle, the former.
Dan Quayle was a good man who got a bad rap, by the way.
Yes,
but like no one ever talks about him.
But you're not saying, you're saying in terms of respect from
right.
He had a problem with potatoes. She has word salads.
Same thing with Sarah Palin. I mean, sometimes you may be a good person and smart and capable, but you have a reputation that hardens in the public mind, and you can never.
Kamala Harris is there.
And she's there.
Right. So that's interesting. But neither one of you guys think this time next year we'll be talking about maybe not this time next year, but sometime.
Well, poll yourself. Let's make this a three-person poll. What do you think? You think Biden's going to run you think he'll be the Democrat nominee? It's hard. There's a lot of.
It's 50-50 right now. I agree with what you guys have said. But also, it depends on how much he listens to others. Because, let's face it. Okay, number one, he is the president of the United States right now.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
He's in the White House, okay? Number two, some people who get in the mental state that he's in, they get annoyed or angry if you suggest to them that the way they think is not necessarily the way it is. So he may say, you know, they may come to him by they, I mean the Democrat mm-hmm. Party bigwigs,
yeah,
and say, you know, Joe, man, you've done a great job here as president, but you're not going to be able to hold up to four more years in the White House, and we need somebody to come in who can. And he may say, "Really? Why don't you just stick in your ear?"
Right.
Because I'm the president.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a good job, and I'm as fit as I've ever been. I'm ready to go. And aren't I, Jill?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that may be the attitude, because we all know people who've gotten dementia. He's not full blown to where he can't function during the day. He has good days, bad days, but we all see him slipping before our very eyes.
Right.
And it's getting worse. It's getting worse between videos where you go, "Oh my goodness gracious."
One reason why I don't think he does a lot of interviews.
So I don't know. You're going to go, who's going to go in and tell, if he wants to run, who's going to go in and tell him, "No, you're not"?
Well, no one can.
That's what I'm
tell
saying.
Tell him you're not. All they can do is either they can appeal to him or he can come to the conclusion. We are looking at, so it's 23. So we're still got a year and a half.
Before the election.
Invades mm-hmm. Taiwan. If there's an economic crash, I mean, the stress levels on Joe Biden could escalate to the point where he goes, I can't handle the campaign.
I don't think he feels stress.
Well,
I think he's immune
shots,
to stress, huh?
Yeah. If he's not calling the shots, if he's got a team around him that's doing the tweeting and
yeah, I think he's just a puppet now.
Yeah.
He's just a figurehead right now.
That's possible.
I believe he can barely, if you watch him walk, he shuffles. He has a difficult time reading a teleprompter. I agree with you. I mean, they need to replace him.
Yeah.
Because he is the worst candidate they have to put up in 2024. Well, I say word.
And
no,
he will
no, no, he's not the worst. Kamala Harris would be, to borrow a word, worser.
I would rather have Joe Biden run in the country.
Well, he would have to own whatever the state of the country is over the next 18
right.
months and our place in the world. He has to own it. I mean, this blaming Donald Trump for the problems of inflation and all that kind of stuff, that's not going to sell with the American people. He'll have to own what our country looks like in 18 months.
So we're at a place, I think with the three of us agree, it's probably 50-50, 60-40 that he isn't the candidate.
Yeah.
60, would you say that? 60-40 he is not the candidate?
Yeah, I think so, because it's not just what he decides. He may have the decision made for him by his health.
Yeah. The only two people I know off the top of my head that could reach him and say, we need to do this, are his wife, the first lady, and his son, Hunter. Now, Hunter obviously needs his dad in office. Hold on. The only two people that could reach him. I'm going somewhere with this.
I should not just be laughing like a
I'm going somewhere with this.
Hold on. Let me put my mute on so I can laugh.
Okay. There's only two people that could reach him to say, Dad, it's time to step aside, kind of thing, right?
You mean Hunter could look into his soul?
But Hunter won't do it because Hunter obviously needs his dad in office. Right. Hunter needs his dad in office to continue living Hunter's lifestyle.
Protecting him.
And Jill seemingly seems like she loves to be first lady, so I don't know that either one of them are going to tell him to step aside.
And I don't know how much. Hunter probably does have some influence. His wife certainly does. And it really doesn't matter if Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, whoever else, you know, comes up to him.
Some of those other spring chickens.
Spring chickens. It almost doesn't matter what they say if Dr. Biden, comes, you know, says
it's
to
a
him,
PhD,
you can
doctor.
Do it. You can do it. He's going to go with whatever Jill recommends.
I just wonder if they do have a Democrat power broker powwow at the White House to sit down and talk to President Biden and his wife. If Kamala Harris is not invited. Oh, and she finds out about it. She has to ask about it. And they, did nobody call you? We were having a meeting over at the White House.
You were working on that border stuff.
About who the replacement would be for Joe Biden.
She's very busy getting to the root causes of illegal immigration in this country. She may not have time, Tim.
All right. Well, we'll revisit this unofficial poll.
Yeah.
Sometime
very
soon.
Scientific.
Go ahead, Chris. Next story.
Well, I do want to bring attention to the ongoing effort by members of the GOP-led House to ban males from competing in female sports. This is a bill that Congressman Greg Stube of Florida brought
up. Talking about federal legislation, not state legislation.
Federal legislation, yes, sir. That would ban males from competing in female sports based on the fact that a lot of female athletes are saying it's unfair or it's a violation of their Title IX rights. So Congressman Stube has a bill that would ban males from competing in female sports. One of the groups out there really pushing this and trying to get folks behind it is FRC Action, Family Research Council Action. And I've got a little bit of audio of FRC Action's Mary Beth Waddell, clip 5.
Congress is expected this upcoming week to vote on a bill that would prevent men from being able to take these things from women athletes, that they wouldn't be able to participate in women's sports. And so, yes, FRC has an alert that folks can find at frcaction.org/women's sports. That has two S's, women's is plural, and then the S in sports, where they can let their congressman know that they want them to support this bill that would ensure Title IX remains a protection for women to bring them equality and opportunity.
Now, a number of states have moved in this direction.
Yeah. A number of states have taken action on this to protect the girls' sports. I think this is a net loser big time for Democrats. I think you'll find some Democrats who will support this legislation. They'll come over with some, it won't be a lot, maybe 10-20%, but I think we're talking about in the House of Representatives in D.C. Who will vote to protect women's sports, because, as I say, the vast majority of Americans, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, you ask them, do you think males should be competing against girls in sports, they're going to say no. It's unfair. Maybe there's another way to do this, but it isn't letting boys beat down girls in sports. The Democrats they're gonna box themselves in on this one, and it's gonna hurt them.
I gotta say, I think it hurts Democrats on a local and state level. I don't think it does on a federal level. simply because I don't think this is probably, it might be a top 10 issue, but it's probably at the bottom of the list for most federal voters. They're going to look at, you know, the economy.
You mean when it comes to voting for president or congressman or senator?
I think it hurts on for school board voting, for some state elections. I agree with you, the vast majority of voters don't like this stuff in terms of letting men compete with women. But in terms of who they decide to vote for president or their member of Congress or senator, what have you, I don't think that's high up on their list.
Yeah, you're probably right, but I think it could be exploited. I'd say that in a political way, by Republicans next year, if it stays in the news, and
you can make it count in a debate.
That's what I'm saying.
In a presidential debate, for example, if you bring it up and say, "Well, what
the whole nation's watching,"
the whole nation's watching,
and Biden says, if he's the nominee, says, "No, I'm good with boys competing against girls in sports.
I'm good with Riley Gaines being forced to get in a locker room situation and change in front of a biological male. I'm good with that. That is one of those kinds of that is something that I don't know if it's a tipping point thing, but it does. It helps Republicans and does hurt Democrats.
It's an indefensible position, I think, to hold that saying no girls must compete with boys in sports. And I think that the best, when you have something like that, the Democrats who they don't want to talk about it. That's their best case scenario, is they just don't want
to
talk about
it. You have to force that issue onto the ledger for most voters.
Yeah. It's interesting that Democrats are the way they are today, because Democrats are the reason we have Title IX. Democrats are
what
the reason.
What is Title IX, Chris?
Title IX is basically a law that says women have to be given access to fair and equal treatment in school sports and educational opportunities and stuff like that. Is the reason we have a girls volleyball team or a softball, stuff like that.
Yeah, the as I understand it, yes, Title IX. Okay, so you have colleges and universities, when they give scholarships away for athletics,
yes,
they have to demonstrate that they're equally distributed for males and females. Mm-hmm. Now, I think they exclude football, because there's 75 scholarships in football, and there's no sport equivalent to that for girls, right? With that many numbers, what I'm talking about. So they put football in a separate category, and then they say, okay, all the other sports must be equally distributed, the scholarships.
And you must have teams. Mm-hmm. You must have girls' versions.
Right. Yeah, girls' volleyball,
right?
Girls' softball. There's a lot of girls' sports. But so that's what Title IX was. It was created to protect girls' athletics and to make it an equal and fair, playing field, so to speak.
And 50 years later, they're just ignoring that.
And so what's happening is, when you allow boys to start playing in girls' athletics, if you follow this to its logical conclusion, 10 years from now, you could have males dominating what today is girls' sports. Mm-hmm. That's not crazy. If this transgender stuff continues to be pushed, you will have a bunch of guys who decided, "Hey, I can't cut it in male swimming or tennis or whatever, volleyball, basketball, but you know what? I can make the girls team. All I got to do is say I'm a girl and I'm on the squad, and I'll be dominating those girls."
Right.
And what I'm saying is, you say, well, that'll never happen. Oh, it's starting to happen. We're on the front end of this now. And we will be there in 10 years unless there are laws passed to protect girls' sports.
Right.
And there are being laws passed
statewide.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on AFR. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.